Welcome back to White Owl's Party Line. Here we are on a Monday. I want to thank our sponsors, Mel's Starlight Drive-In, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College, your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps, Big Deals, Simple Time Antiques, Voldico Insurance, Michelle Boyd Agency, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Welty Custom Exteriors, Blevins Insurance, and Virk's Fine Jewelry. I'm Kevin Keith. We've got Melissa Miller here in the studio with us as well. And on the phone, we've got State Director of Agriculture, Bruce Kettler, joining us this morning on Party Line. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here with you as always and all your listeners on WILO.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call and making yourself available to us this morning. And, of course, we've done this a couple times over the last year, and it's always a good time to get an update from the State Director of Agriculture, particularly here in early summer with the State of Ag in Indiana. So how are things going overall?
You know, I think overall, as I talk to farmers and people in our agriculture sector, I think for the most part, people are pleased with how the crop is, for example. There was some variability, as there always is every spring, in terms of planting and how crops look. I would say generally the center part of the state had a little more difficult time as you go west-east across the state there. But I've been to northern Indiana in the last several weeks. Some areas in northeast Indiana have really good-looking crops, I understand. I haven't been several weeks in southern Indiana, but I understand crops for the most part look good. So I think people are overall pleased. The heat that we've had the last several weeks, of course, brings some concern. Rains have been variable, and that always makes a little bit of a concern for us. But generally speaking, I think good. It's my understanding that folks, maybe aren't as pleased with their soybeans and how they look at this stage as they are corn. But I think we're good. Our livestock sector seems to be strong. You know, the market prices continue to be pretty strong. And if we can get good to excellent yields, I think farmers will be very pleased with that as well.
You know, you mentioned corn, and we always said knee-high by the 4th of July, but most of the time we're looking for a little better than knee-high, at least in north-central Indiana. The corn does appear to be doing pretty good up here. And I've heard some of the same thing with the soybeans, some doing well, some not. So I think that that's kind of the way it is all over.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that knee high. I remember that too. Mm-hmm. My father worked in the agriculture sector, worked for farmers in the retail business for fertilizer, crop protection, and seed. And I remember him talking about that as well. But not to give away my age, but that's been some time ago. I think our modern genetics in corn and soybeans, but in this case, corn, our modern genetics, our modern production practices, we plant much earlier than we used to. Knee-high by the 4th of July is probably a pretty late-planted crop in a lot of cases. So some folks would prefer to see it fastling by then, probably particularly in southern Indiana. But for your listening area, I think most folks would say, you know, I want it to be taller than that by the 4th of July.
Right. You'd mentioned the market here there at the beginning. Does it seem like it's going to be a pretty good market for farmers through the season, through the farming season?
You know, my perspective is I think it will be. There's no indications right now for several reasons. Now, some of these reasons are not things that any of us would like to see when you look at the situation in Ukraine, for example. We've got some concerns there that that's probably going to help some of the crop markets. But then on the flip side of that, you've got the concerns about inflation, high diesel fuel prices, high gas prices. So there's a lot of uncertainty that goes with that. The one thing I will note that I think is kind of an interesting part for agriculture right now, I mentioned that, you know, for the most part, our crop prices are very strong. But so are our livestock market prices. That's kind of unusual. In most cases, if you have strong crop prices, the livestock prices may not be as good. Obviously, it affects, if you've got really strong corn and soybean prices, that affects feed costs for our livestock producers. But for the most part now, I think, you know, even in the livestock sector, the market prices are good, which is probably really a reflection of the world economy and the demand that there is on all sectors. So I think as long as we can continue with a pretty decent crop, that folks should have a good year. You know, the analysis I'm hearing out of Purdue and some other places that I read, they don't expect that overall the net farm income will be quite as strong as maybe it was last year and the last years. But a lot of that's a reflection of the high input cost of fertilizer and fuel and so forth.
Bruce, what are we seeing as far as the international markets, and what are you seeing coming out of South America as far as their crop production, and China? What's that going to look like for producers, for us?
Yeah, I think from a crop production standpoint, there's a little bit of mixed bag. The last I've seen from South America, some of their crops are looking better. You know, last year they had a pretty significant drought that impacted particularly their soybeans, but even some of their corn. I think that's improved a little bit there. China, sometimes with China, it's very difficult to know exactly what their production is going to be, but certainly one of the reasons for strong crop prices is because China's been in the market pretty significantly for some time now. So I think there's a lot of demand from China and other markets that we would export to in the U.S. Of course, South America is going to be a big competitor in that area. But it's still very interesting. I think Ukraine, you know, is another area that we have to continue to watch. I just got back Saturday, was on a trade mission with USDA over in the United Kingdom. And, you know, there's significant concerns there about a lot of things, of course, since they're much even closer than we are to Ukraine. A lot of that has to do with energy and energy prices. But still, you know, in terms of crop production and that and the livestock markets they have over there, there's a lot of pressure. So, you know, even though we have good prices here, we still have to be aware that there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of uncertainty, you know, what's going to happen with interest rates and so forth that we all need to watch. So it's really an important time for our farmers to continue to monitor maybe even more closely what's happening in all of these markets.
I'm going to shift gears on you just a little bit. How are we looking as far as the avian influenza that's been all over the country and doing major damage, just wiping out whole flocks?
Yeah. You know, we, of course, that started with turkeys pretty much. I mean, there was some stuff on the East Coast, but it started with turkeys pretty much in Southwest Indiana. Of course, we had some in Northeast Indiana and ducks, a little bit in chickens. A lot of states did get it right now. It seems to have abated in Indiana, and I think most places in the United States, but I was just reading a report last week. There's still a lot of it being found in waterfowl, wild birds. It's still there. There's significant concern that it could come back this fall, and I think a lot of that simply has to do with once those migrating birds and waterfowl that go north, once they come back south, I think the concern is there's so much virus and such a what they call a viral load in these populations that there's concern that it won't go away and could come back. So I would say that, you know, our poultry production in the state of Indiana will certainly need to keep and be vigilant. As I talked to Dr. Marsh, Board of Animal Health, the last several weeks and through the spring as this was happening in Indiana, you know, I think he and his counterparts have a lot of concern that in the past this may have gone away with a seasonal wave and then disappeared. I think there's concern that that's not necessarily going to be the case. So people will remain; they'll have to remain vigilant.
Well, I want to thank you, just on a personal side, for all your support with Indiana FFA. It was good to see you a couple of weeks ago before you took off on your trip, and I want to thank you for that. And why, I know ISDA brought the FFA under their umbrella quite a few years ago, but why was that so important for you guys to do that?
Well, time, there was concern that the ag education and FFA, obviously, are separate. Ag education on you know, from the public side in our schools, that, you know, the support in terms of funding for those programs, career and technical education programs, would not be very strong. And of course, if we don't have a strong ag education programs in our schools, we can't have FFA either. And so the concern was that you know, the funding would get cut, but wise counsel, I think wise leadership at that time said, look, the leadership development, the entrepreneurship development that these young people get when they participate in FFA activities, and it, you know, it's more than public speaking and parliamentary procedure. I mean, the supervised ag experience, the leadership development events, the career development events that these young people participate in are helping them to understand what our great industry offers. And we, I think that at that time, and it's still firmly my belief, we have got to let these young people be able to participate and find out all the opportunities that are in this industry. And what better way to do it than when they're at a very impressionable age, starting in junior high in some cases, but certainly through high school with these members. And I'm a product of the organization, so I'm probably very biased, but I'll take that because I just think that what we offer them has to be supported and needs to be continually supported and give them the opportunities to flourish.
Well, I know I appreciate it. I see it firsthand as well, just like you do. And, yeah. I'm a little older than you. I do remember you going through the ranks, but yeah, no jokes on the side there. Otherwise, you can't stay in my office.
Okay.
But no, I appreciate all the support and your presence, and you always set aside time for all of the youth of Indiana, and that's fantastic. And so does your whole team. So thank you for that.
It's our pleasure, and thank you for recognizing that. And I'll tell you, I do it for a reason, because I remember when I was in FFA, when I was younger, people did that for me, and it gave me a great significant impression in my mind at the time that people would take time to answer questions, to provide some mentorship, or just simply to provide some advice. And it was an important part of my growing up and my understanding of this industry. I don't know that I would have stayed in the industry had I not gotten that exposure through FFA to all the possibilities that this industry offers. And it just allowed me, I think, to really be able to flourish as a young person and look at what those opportunities could be and what they were. And I will always give them time as they need it.
Well, and I also don't think that a lot of people in the general public realize how much, how many, you know, we talk about agriculture as an industry, and there's still a lot of people out there that think agriculture is just, you know, plows, cows, and sows, and that's not the case. There's so much more to it, and I'm sitting here looking at your website, because I haven't been on it for a little while. Talk about a lot of the programs that you guys have got going on. I mean, it's amazing how you guys reach out to all areas of agriculture, not just, you know, growing crops.
Absolutely. And that's our mission as a department. We are called the State Department of Agriculture for a reason. It's part of our mission. So, you know, no matter the size of agriculture that's there, but then even the breadth of the industry, from you know, items that are produced to the selling and marketing, that's part of what we're there for. You know, the Indiana Grown program is a great example. We've got about 1,900 members, maybe a little over now, and that's a program that from a production agriculture standpoint has all sizes and crops and livestock products and whatever it is. But it also gets into the affiliated food processing, even beyond food. You know, we consider hardwoods, for example, as part of our agriculture industry in the state of Indiana. So that's what we're here for as a department. Our mission, for me and our team, is to promote any kind of agriculture and to provide information and support where we can for all types of agriculture. Obviously, that's not unlimited. Sometimes as much as you know, we would like to be able to support more of those efforts. But, you know, the Indiana Grown Program is a great example. I know you were talking a little bit while I was waiting about grants. Our department will do grants, whether they come from USDA or even the state level, for a lot of different businesses, entities that want to do it. A great example, during the pandemic, you know, we got funds through USDA, or the state got funds through the federal government, I should say, through the CARES Act, and we've turned that around to try to help some of our small and medium-sized meat processors. So that was another example of where we, as a department, worked hard to be able to make sure that we got that there. So, yeah, our responsibility is to look at all of agriculture and make sure that we're supportive. And again, where we can't always do it. We're limited on people and funding sometimes to be able to do, but we'll do what we can, certainly. If not, through our department, sometimes we have to connect folks to either other departments within the state or other businesses or other entities that can help them.
Bruce, we could probably talk to you for another hour and a half here, as we all have a lot of questions and stuff, but I wanted to ask you one more before we let you go. I've read some articles recently over the last month or so that talks about maybe some other states that have been harvesting insects for food over food security issues, which I think every state in the nation is probably dealing with. The thought is the insects could be food, their waste could be fertilizer. I don't know if that's a weird science fiction movie or is outside the box thinking what we're going to probably be seeing ideas like this over the next 10 years.
Well, yeah, I don't know a lot about it, though I am familiar with some companies that are looking at this. In some cases, yeah, people could directly eat insects. It's interesting you bring this up. Sometimes what's new is old, or what's old is new again. I remember taking an entomology class when I was in college, and we had a professor that invited the class over to his house, and part of the meal was insects that he had baked and so forth. And, you know, we had to try it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this, some of this new that people are looking at is utilizing various types of insects for protein sources.
Mm-hmm.
So think of being able to raise large amounts of insects, maybe in a building or a controlled situation, and then being able to process them, just like we might other commodity products or crops, process them such that you can get protein, and that protein source then could be added into different food products to enhance the protein or to add protein into those sources. So that's where I think a lot of this is going. I know there is an entity already in the United States working with a large food and grain entity here in the States that's doing it as a protein source for livestock beef, for example. So, again, I'll go back to when we were talking about the FFA example. The opportunities in this industry are phenomenal, and, you know, probably wasn't too many years ago nobody would say, well, let's look at insects as a source for protein or, for livestock feed or even for direct human use. But that's where we need people that are innovative and have an entrepreneurial spirit that can find these kinds of opportunities for us to be able to take advantage of in agriculture. And I know there's a lot of farmers would be, you know, they'd love to probably give up a few insects out of their field.
Right. Find a better use for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Bruce, we got a roll here, but we always appreciate your time and making yourself available. And maybe we can catch back up with you late next month or early August and get another update.
We would love to. Just a reminder, State Fair starts the end of July through August, so let's do it during State Fair.
Yeah. Right. We can do that from my office.
You. Yeah, Melissa will
be
down there.
Because I'll be down there. You know, I'm living with Lisa down there, so, yeah.
She's got deluxe accommodations.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's seen my office. He knows what my office looks like. But, yeah, no, we can hang out in my office, and we can call in and talk to everybody, so.
Let's do it.
Look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
All right. That's Bruce Kettler, the State Ag Director for the state of Indiana. Melissa and I are going to take a break. We'll come right back. We'll wrap up Party Line. That's coming up next on WILO.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
The young lady had called me up a few months ago from South Carolina. She wants to go to Ole Miss and pay four times the tuition because she's out of state instead of going to South Carolina in-state. Why? I asked her. The houses around Ole Miss, it's such a pretty town.
It is very pretty.
No! It's a pretty town. You're killing me here.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO.
Have you checked out ClintonCountyDailyNews.com lately? If it's been a while, take a few minutes to log on through your computer, tablet, or smartphone. We've recently added new features on our tabs. Now when you click on the Community tab, click on Fun and Games for cartoons, crossword puzzles, Sudoku, and more. Plus, we've recently added a Spanish translation tab for the Latino community. Log on now for the latest going on in Clinton County at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
When you think of diamonds, what comes to mind?
Getting engaged.
Your wedding day.
A favorite anniversary. Diamonds tend to be associated with special memories. The next time you hear the word diamonds, you need to think of Vierks Fine Jewelry.
At Vierks, we have the area's largest and finest selection featuring hundreds of in-stock certified diamonds, all shapes and sizes, and specializing in a carat and larger.
And our prices and quality will meet or exceed anyone's, from the mall to the internet to even New York's Diamond District.
And for true expertise, Vierks has Lafayette's only GIA graduate gemologist in residence, along with the area's only, and we do mean only, USPAP-compliant jewelry appraiser.
Let Vierks help make any occasion shine with the perfect diamond for your individual taste, style, and budget.
If you're serious about a diamond and serious about saving money, then you need to visit Vierks Fine Jewelry. Seriously.
Corner of 18th and Main, Lafayette, Vierks.com.
Spring is officially here. Now is the time to get the boat ready for the water, the motorcycle ready for the open road, and the camper ready for the next adventure. But what about insurance? No better time than now to look at your policy and make sure you are covered. Why not turn to Volt Eco Insurance, Michelle Boyd Agency? Michelle and her team have many insurance companies to choose from, each with their own special packages. Call today at 654-0287 or stop in for a quote and let them customize your insurance coverage. At Volt Eco Insurance, Michelle Boyd Agency. Caring for you is what we do.
The Party Line broadcast is also being telecast at HoosierLandTV.com and archived forever online. This telecast is always made possible by these fine sponsors: Ellis Jewelers, The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Cooling, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, Provide Computer Sales and Service, 51 West. Thank you for watching, listening, and participating in the Party Line program from HoosierLandTV.com and WILO.
Hey, 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 welcome back to WILO's Party Line on the Monday. Thanking our sponsors here, Vierks Fine Jewelry, Blevins Insurance, Wealthy Custom Exteriors, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Vold Eco Insurance, Michelle Boyd Agency, Simple Time Antiques, Big Deals, Brett Capture, Edward Jones Advisor, Ivy Tech Community College, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Mel Starlight Drive-In, and Encompass Credit Union. I'm Kevin Keith. We got Melissa Miller, and oh my gosh, look at the time, Melissa. It's already time to wrap it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Read the sponsors again.
We had a great conversation there with Bruce, and unfortunately, Lieutenant Governor could not, something came up, and yes, she wasn't able to fit it into her schedule. So maybe we can catch her at State Fair as well. She comes and hangs out with us at State Fair. So,
you know, Bruce seems very honest that he wants to join us on
the
air. Yeah,
he does.
He seems sincere. Yeah,
he does, and he comes and he hangs out with us there at the office. He comes out and he hangs out with the kids.
Bring you water and an elephant.
But then he also kind of hangs out in the office too with us as well and ask our opinions. He's very open to talking to everyone.
Well, that's how you figure it out. You know, that's how you come up with plans and issues and answers. So he's figured out the secret sauce there is communicating with the people who are in the fields, right?
Right, exactly.
Tomorrow we've got Clinton County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Shan Sheridan plus Frankfort Main Street Executive Director Kim Stevens right here on the Party Line program. Don't forget, in just about 29 minutes at 10 o'clock this morning, it is the day we're going to break ground for the brand new City of Frankfort, brand new built police department. And they are going to have parking available on site. If you can't make it, Ken Hartman's assured me he's going out there to take some beautiful pictures and talk to folks. And once they break the ground today, Melissa, I've heard as recent, as soon as 18 months, we could have our brand new police station up and going.
Yeah, just depends on supplies and all that good stuff.
All right, so we've got a full week for you here still, and we'll see you tomorrow morning on the Wilo Party Line program. Again, want to thank our sponsors, who include Mel's Starlight Drive-In, Encompass Credit Union, Ivy Tech Community College, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Ivy Tech Community College. We love them so much, we're going to say them twice. Brett Capture, Edward Jones Advisor, Big Deals, Simple Time Antiques, Volt Eco Insurance, Michelle Boyd Agency, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Welty Custom Exteriors, Levin's Insurance, and Virk's Fine Jewelry. We will be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Party Line at 8:30. And have a great day from WILO.